You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and the movies nearly released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
No talking.
And Erica.
Need a lift.
And welcome to Noir-vember 2, where we're going to discuss the noir-ish movies released by New World Pictures, or in this case, nearly released by New World Pictures, because this movie that we're going to talk about is produced by Roger Corman of New World Pictures. However, this is after Roger has sold New World Pictures, and he is on to his next venture, a Concord Pictures, towards the end of the 80s when they are making movies primarily for the video market. And that's why we're talking about 1988's The Drifter.
I've seen it.
God, if you hadn't, boy, would this be an uncomfortable conversation, at least for you. You'd be very quiet.
Which is a theme in the movie. I feel like I could have played the role of the Drifter for this episode.
You and could also, have played the role of the Drifter?
In the sense of just not saying much.
Oh.
And I think I could have just... No. Everything else, I'm nothing close to the Drifter. But in that part, it aligns. But I also think I could have... I could wing it on this one. The ending, I have to admit, was different than I expected. But everything leading up to it, I was like, that's following the playbook, you know? If you've watched any Lifetime movie... You've seen The Drifter.
I mean, did The Drifter start Lifetime movies on their...
Did they see this as an inspiration?
I mean, I would assume.
I don't think so. There's a lot of talking in Lifetime movies. There's not a lack of talking.
But is there a lot of cops wearing shirts with the sleeves cut off?
Well, he was undercover, right? Wasn't he undercover?
Was he? I mean, he still had his badge on his pants.
I thought he was.
You're talking about the detective with the longer hair,
and always cut off sleeves. Who also, I think, is the director of this movie.
He is the writer and director. Yes. We're talking about Larry Brand. That's his name. This was his debut. And he wrote this script.
Was it his debut in all three roles? A role, the writer, and the director? Was it his tribut?
Yeah.
I'm not, to be honest, I'm not 100% if this is his absolute...
Then just say yes.
Ryan, where else am I supposed to go to figure out this information? I'm at Ryan's research. I go to the dome. I can't look this up myself. I'm incapable of looking this up myself. I'm just a lady. What am I supposed to do? Ooh, I need help. Ooh, anybody got
someone
a cigarette?
Protect me.
Anybody got a cigarette?
I believe that Larry Brand had been a screenwriter, but this was his directorial debut. And I don't believe he had been in many other movies. So I think this was one of it was not his screenwriting debut, but his debut probably as a lead role and also as a director. In fact, the script, according to Beverly Gray's book about Roger Corman, she said that Roger Corman was so impressed with the script that he hired Larry to direct the movie as well as the fact that he had written it. And he was more expensive because he was already a member of the Writers Guild. So he cost way more than the usual Concord screenwriters. And for that matter, New World Pictures, because they always tried to at least do... That's why they would have... Francis Dole and other people around the office do like treatments because they would go around the Writers Guild rules and they wouldn't have to spend a lot of money getting a treatment. And then they could hire an actual writer and just do the treatment, but they wouldn't have to hire a writer to write that. but he ended up being pretty expensive. So he told Beverly Gray, that is to say, Larry Brand told Beverly Gray that he said, quote, "I may be in the Guinness Book of World Records as the highest paid Corman guy."
But Corman got back at him and was like, "Listen, you're the most expensive writer I've ever hired, so you both have to direct and act in this movie." So.
Yeah, you have to play a role.
You joke's not, on you, buddy. Yeah.
Make it worth my money. I want my money's worth.
You got three jobs. You
got- Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, as soon as he finishes this movie, Corman hires him to remake The Mask of the Red Death, which is a movie Corman had directed himself, and they remake it in 1989. Of course, they were trying to remake a whole lot of things at that point in time because Corman's Concord Pictures were making tons of movies. In fact, I think he proudly talks about the end of the 80s as them putting together out, I think, 44 movies within 2 years. Wow. And they were pumping movies out to put them out on video. And then into the 90s, they start their own video line. And we have some pretty good actors here. We have Kim Delaney, who was a soap opera actress, and she will show up in New World Television's Tour of Duty.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
I think she's not in season one, but she's in the other two seasons. And we have Miles O'Keefe.
So we can skip. Go ahead.
We can skip season one. We can skip season one then.
We just skip it.
Just jump right into time. Two.
We'll wait for the Delaney.
Actually,
bump.
Should we start at three and then go to one? And
then move
two?
Our way back. Yeah, that's right.
Or three, right. 2, 1, 3, 1, 2. Yep. I don't know.
Yeah, the third season when they're not shooting in Hawaii, they're just shooting in back in LA to save money. Oh. It's not as good. But
not as good. Them.
Yeah, Miles O'Keefe plays the Drifter. He doesn't do a ton of New World movies, though he does star in a movie that New World Entertainment puts out on video in the UK called Cartel from 1990, which we'll get to eventually. But he was also in the A-Tor, the Fighting Eagle movies. He was in three of those in Italy and also was in Bruno Mattei's Double Target in 1987.
I didn't know that. I just remember him from Tarzan the Ape Man with Bo Derek.
Yes. Directed by her husband. That was like his debut. Yeah. That was like his big debut that he had. And then from there, he spends years like making movies in Italy. So, and then rounding out our trilogy, we have Timothy Bottoms, who was also in The Last Picture Show and lots of other more prominent things, but is also in this. And feels like he wants to get out of this movie as badly as possible.
Yeah. Yes.
He was also in, I should say, Hambone and Hilly for New World Pictures. So, man. Once we get to Hambone and Hilly.
Before this podcast, I don't think I had ever heard the words Hambone and Hilly so many times. I just want to be honest.
We've talked to one of the co-screenwriters of Hambone and Hilly, and that was years ago. Most of this podcast is us just putting off watching Hambone and Hilly. Like, we're going to get there. It's a long build. It's a slow burn.
It is. It has been a slow burn. It's just two words, or I guess three words, but I've said the word and heard the word and a lot, but Hambone Hilly.
Do you think a lot of movie stars change their names, you know, to make it more marketable, but Timothy Bottoms? Nothing came to mind. He wasn't like, okay, what street did I grow up on? Maybe I can use that as my last name.
I think before it was like Timothy Bottompotamus. So he was like, yeah, I'm just going to go Bottoms. Like Hippopotamus goes Hippo, I'm going to go Bottoms. Nobody look that up. That's part of Erica's made up research. Nobody fact check that.
We have talked about his brother, Sam Bottoms, who was in...
When?
I was about to say, Up when? From the Depths.
Oh my gosh.
Sam Bottoms, who was also in Apocalypse Now, played Lance, the surfer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Up From the Depths. And he was also in Hunter's Blood, which was also done by Concord Pictures and released by New World Video in Canada, I believe. So, we've the Bottoms boys.
Yeah, the Bottoms boys, they just kept it. They just said, you know what? We're the Bottoms boys, so what?
We're going to get a lot of Bottoms before this podcast is over.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
We're going to inspect those Bottoms.
I don't feel like we could say any joke here that they haven't already heard.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Do you think they would be available for steaming?
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh, wow. Mr. Bottoms.
Steaming Bottoms.
Yeah. I'd love to have some Bottoms and steaming. And trademark that. I might need that. I might need that for the movie itself. So I'm trademarking that right now. I need some Bottoms for steaming. But also I would like the Bottom Brothers to join steaming. Also trademark on that, just in case I need that for my movie. Oh my God. Writing a movie is such hard work. I know that the writer, director, actor of this movie can relate because I will also be writing, directing, acting, and steaming.
Wow, you're in steaming? Wow. Well, it's going to be tough.
God, Ryan, spoiler alert. Yeah, I'm in it too. I wrote it. I'm directing it. I'm in it. I mean, geez, gosh. I'm the intimacy coordinator. I'm doing it all.
Wow. Crafty.
I'm not doing crafty. I'm not doing crafty. That's somebody else. I'm outsourcing
that. No one eats. No one eats on this set.
Oh, people eat. People are going to eat. It's going to be schlong related foods. Corn dogs, mini hot dogs, a lot of hot dogs, a lot of sausage on the set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Both physical sausage and edible sausage. I mean, I guess it's both edible, but you know what I mean. Craft services sausage. There's going to be meatballs. There's going to be pigs in a blanket.
Wow.
Oh, man. There's going to be ham hocks, just because that's fun to say. Ham bone and hilly. There we go again. I don't know. Just putting it out there.
Will be difficult to get Sam Bottoms. He did pass away. In
tough crowd tonight. So. Tough crowd. Oh my God.
Wait. I think we can still do it.
No, I take it all back. It's not fun or funny.
Well, anymore. you'd only get one Bottoms. That's all. You could get one Bottoms, not two.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was only going to get one Bottoms. My apologies to the Bottoms family. But I will still take Tim Bottoms. If he's available and interested.
You will take Top Bottoms.
Hell yeah.
I know they've heard these. This is,
They've heard it all.
I know. But it's new for me. So had you guys seen this before?
Oh, no.
No, of course not.
Come on.
When have we have seen this before?
What? How would this ever show up in my queue? Ever?
Yeah.
Even if it did, would I hit play? No.
Yeah. Ryan?
I had seen it like when I got the VHS that I ripped for us to watch this. When I got it. So it was in the past few years, but it wasn't like, you know, I didn't see this back in the 80s or 90s.
All right, so don't act so. You're not better than Mark and I. You're not better than us.
I never said I was.
You only watched it a few years ago.
I never said I was.
Clearly, that's how it got back here. Until it snuck its way back on, just wormed its way into your heart, protected you, reminded you it was there, and then here we are.
It just kept calling you, Ryan. Just kept calling you from the other room.
That clock ticking. You were like, okay, any day now.
Time's ticking. We got to get this one out.
I will pick you up, Drifter. I will.
Did not realize that was such a loaded question, but I'm just curious if you've ever
seen
the
movie. I know we're not final questions, Ryan, but watch yourself tonight. Watch yourself.
I'm now learning. But we should start with our fake letterbox synopses that we're going to come up with.
Do we do that for these episodes?
Yes, guys. Figure out the format. My God.
He's changing it just because he loved this movie.
I know we're not at final questions, but what if I don't have a synopsis for this?
There are no final questions for this. Aww. We don't do final questions in these worlds. I don't. You guys know this. Erica, let's start with you. What's your fake letterbox synopsis for The Drifter?
A lovely woman traveling from a work event back to L.A. finds out the hard way that sleeping with a stranger could and does have consequences. Time will tell, audio wink. what the consequences are.
That's all true.
It's pretty 100%.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just put some, I guess, laughter audio in there. Just get that laughter soundtrack and just insert that in there whenever you guys want. Tough crowd tonight. Tough crowd.
Mark, what is your made-up Letterboxd synopsis?
A cat inexplicably manages to live even though the owners leave it for weeks on end in a one-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the drifter is the cat.
Yes, it's the cat. So she goes on a business trip for days and the cat is just trapped in her apartment. How is that cat alive? Mm-hmm. Also, who names their cat Steve?
That was hilarious. Yeah, I thought that was actually hilarious. Yeah. That made me laugh out loud. Yeah. I was like, Steve the cat. That's great. Also, her commitment to that like sort of desertscape apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it. Like the southwestern. Oh, the commitment. It was throughout. It was throughout the whole apartment. It was amazing.
I was a little disappointed because for being a highly touted fashion designer, she is no interior designer. There's a real lack of art on the walls. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's maybe the most obvious set apartment that I've seen in recent years.
This movie is filled with very obvious sets, mostly because they shoot on location all the time, and then they'll shoot an inside, and it's such an obvious, the hotel room initially, her apartment, they're just very obvious sets.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same set too, because there are very oddly shaped windows, some of them being very small for what should be a big window, like in the hotel room. You normally have a big window in a hotel room, and this is like a picture frame window.
I didn't know I was on the inspector cast, the building inspector podcast. Yikes. No,
guys, we renamed it. It's called the glass cast now. So
people will say you kind of sold out a little, but I mean, you got to go where the listeners are. Got to meet them where they are.
Well, we wanted it to be something catchy that people would remember.
We did score an interview with Mr. Geldwin himself.
Really peak episode of the podcast. God.
You'd think we'd go for Philip Glass, but we did not. We went for the man who owns Geldwin Windows. We got him. We got him, folks.
If we can get Anderson, boy.
I'm working on it.
That's the dream. Yeah. That's the dream.
That's the dream. That's the dream. That's the white whale.
I keep having people come to my house to give me estimates on new windows just so I can be like, so, like, do you ever see Mr. Anderson around? Like, ever?
Does he like to talk? I don't know. Love to pick his brain.
I noticed that you guys don't have a podcast, but funny, I do. But anyway.
I always consider myself a double pane gal. So, I don't know. Whatever that means to him. Just float it out there.
Erica, are you going to be on the next episode of the Glass Cast? So,
I mean, if I'm invited, I haven't gotten an invite yet, so I feel a little weird inviting myself, but I am available.
Okay, I'm looking available. And a lot of glass catalogs. They're all over the dining room table.
Yeah.
She's really doing her research.
Oh, doing my research.
So here's my fake Letterboxd synopsis. One woman. One man. Another man, another woman, another man, another other man, a cat, a death, a mystery.
I like it.
That's really good. Yeah, I like that.
Sums up this movie.
If that was actually the synopsis, I would have watched this a long time ago.
Yeah, they should consider that. Will you write the synopsis for Steeman?
One schlong.
A schlong.
Another schlong.
Another schlong.
One more schlong.
Another schlong. Full another schlong. Some steam.
full scrot. A cat. One death. A mystery.
There's going to be a death? Death. Oh, man.
I don't know. Oh, man. We got to sell it. So one way or another, whether or not okay. you use a death, you just got to sell
That's
the,
fair.
You got to sell the thing.
That's fair.
The other thing that you could say about this movie is that it seems like the moral is don't have sex with strange men that you pick up at a motel in the middle of nowhere.
I hope that's the moral. I hope. If it isn't, I don't know what it is.
Well, but if the moral is don't sleep with a hitchhiker that you pick up at a motel, the end of that sentence has to be because.
Right,
and the
right,
because
right.
in this movie is because he will crank call you a lot.
But here's the thing. It's not just
drifters
that you sleep...
drifters love crank yankers.
They're real Jerky Boy fans.
The true fans. True fans.
Now, yeah. Here's the thing. It isn't really just about not sleeping with a stranger in a hotel, but really not sleeping with a stranger in a hotel and then giving them a precious family heirloom.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. She brought that on herself.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
I hate to take that stance, but she did. She told him a very private story. She gave him an antique locket.
Yeah.
She let him drive her car that she was like, I don't know. I don't let anybody drive my car. And she just lets him drive the car.
Why does she not let anyone drive that car? Is it because it is basically a Mark? This is probably more directed to you, but it seems like it is like 2 seconds away from completely falling apart in the middle of the desert out there.
I don't know. I think that was just her excuse to remain in control of the situation because the car is not worth anything. But I mean, this is also a woman who picks up a stranger, invites him into, he asked to sleep in the car. She says, no, come into my room. Because it's raining outside. That's why he asks, which is a reasonable thing to ask. And then proceeds to have sex with him without maybe asking him, maybe you want to just go hose off for a sec? I mean, I don't know.
How
maybe
much
I have,
that was
maybe
my
I have
thought.
A preconceived
no.
notion.
That was my thought. I was like, how much does he smell?
Drifters typically aren't known for their hygiene.
Right.
And so that means for me, guaranteed dirty feet in the sheets, and that's a hard no for me.
Oh my god,
no
for me. I hear that, but for me it was more problematic that they had sex on a hotel room floor. That was more problematic for me because I was like, oof, that you're not even gonna lay down a towel, nothing, not even nothing on the floor. Okay,
it shows that like Kim Delaney's character likes it dirty, and I don't mean dirty. I mean, dirty, like gross,
dirty.
Like a dirty dude,
not
a
hot,
dirty floor,
a dangerous dirty. Staph infection
gross.
Dirty. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Can exactly. you get a staph infection in your lady privates? Is that possible or?
Oh, let me just look in my medical books quickly. Let me just, I'm sorry. I did all my research on Windows, so I don't know. I don't know.
But yeah, that was my first thought. And having seen it a couple years ago, watching it again, my thought was still, he's gross, right? Like he smells.
Yeah.
Like he's like an attractive guy. Don't get me wrong. But like, and his hair is not
he was standing
too
outside
greasy
in jeans.
For a drifter, but yeah.
No, he was standing outside in the desert in jeans and a jacket. And then he changed a tire. He's yucky.
He's yucky.
He's
wearing
mass.
He's
got
he's wearing mass. His yeah. He's wearing his one pair of underwear,
right?
Like that
he's been wearing all week. I'm just assuming.
He didn't come with a satchel of other clothes.
No,
what he's got on. That is gross.
In fact, after they meet up, he only makes one change of clothes, and that is to add a gold pocket watch.
Yeah.
To his ensemble, that's the only change that he makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the time we get to the end, presumably he has been living at the Okie Dog this whole time. So he's dirty and smells like hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he didn't smell like hot dogs
initially. Watch like a necklace.
But...
No one wears wears a pocket watch like that. That's not what it's for. No. It's not intended as a necklace.
No, definitely not. So they hook up.
Upsetting.
They drive. They drive to Los Angeles. She drops him off at the Okie Dog, which is also the hot place to hang out on a Friday night, where everyone just loves to pound hot dogs and hang out. I don't know. Either way,
is that not? Is that not the case, Mark? I mean, come on.
No, I don't think it is.
They make hot dogs such an aggressive food in this, don't they? They really take the piss out of hot dogs on this. It's not. It's no longer a fun picnic snack.
No,
it's now just like, you know, slam an Okie Dog and bang a Drifter.
Is it always in that order?
I don't know. I don't want to know. Because
I think in this movie, it's bang a Drifter, slam an Okie Dog. But I digress.
Fair.
I've still never been to Okie Dog or Pink's in all our time here living in Los Angeles.
Is Okie Dog still around?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't expect anything tonight, but look at me.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I think the West Hollywood one is closed, so maybe it's not going at the moment. We're learning on the fly here.
So she drops him off, and then she heads to her apartment, and I know we're not at final questions, but do you think when they shot the scene where she unlocks the deadbolt to her apartment door, and it opens by swinging outwards, that someone was like,
weird, wasn't it?
Hey, Carl, you hung the door the wrong way.
Yeah, if that isn't the first indication that it's a set, it's certainly the confirmation that this is a set.
Right. Like when she goes up to the cabinet with all the glasses and plates, and she opens up the cabinet and takes out the one glass that's in the cabinet, and then fills it up from a jug of water that's sitting on the counter, because maybe there's no running water in that apartment, which also makes me even more terrified for that cat.
I felt like that was just a very LA move for her to be like, I have bottled water. I have like my little separate jug of water because I'm fancy. Because she showers in her own apartment later.
Oh, yeah, I guess she does.
Or earlier. I don't know. There is a shower scene in her own apartment.
There is a shower scene. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And she has to shower before she goes near bottom because she smells like dirty Drifter.
Oh, yeah. She comes. Like, seriously, the other thing is, when you talk about smells, which I think we've tackled this many times in this podcast, is not, it's really not brought up in movies enough. Mm-hmm. People, when she comes home to her boyfriend, Tim Bottoms, she gives him a kiss, she gives him a hug, they chat for a while, and then he's like, hey, well, let's do it. And she's like, let me just take a quick shower. I'm like, could you not? I mean, you should be able to smell. She's there's some smell transference. Follow me here, people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to get scientific here, but there's some smell transfer that is now on her. Do you think he can not smell it?
This feels personal. I feel like this feels really personal. Listeners, I don't know if you know this. I'm Ryan's wife, and I feel like you just mentioned smells, a smelly wife, smelly partner many times.
Well,
I'm,
I hope
trying
you haven't,
not to read into this, but I
hope
feel
you haven't had
like
sex with some Drifters and then come home. So I hope I'd be able to suss it out with my nose.
One, that sounds like a lot of work. Two, I feel like a Drifter would even be like, no, thank you. I don't feel comfortable in this 2010 Toyota RAV. I'll wait. I'll wait for a more modern car. No, thank you, ma'am. Keep driving. I probably get a ma'am, keep driving.
Old car, no pocket watch. I'm good. I'm going to wait for the next lady to come by.
No pocket watch,
good.
Old car. Looks like the CD player doesn't work. No, thank
it
you.
It definitely doesn't, sir. It definitely doesn't.
I'll wait.
The volume doesn't even work.
Yeah. Also, ma'am, you reek. You reek. You yourself smell very bad. I'm like, hey, I'm taking a road trip alone. Showers are optional. Woo! You want to ride or what? No? Okay.
I don't think her car had air conditioning either. And so there was a lot of desert.
And she's been smoking in it. She stinks.
She stinks. She smells terrible.
Yeah.
So she's not home for more than a day before Trace tries to get a hold of her. He starts calling her at her house or her apartment, and then he's calling her at work and then wants to see her. And he's holding this whole guilt trip that once you make love to someone, you are connected. And so we have to be together.
Hello.
Hiya, Julia.
Who's this? Trey?
Hi.
I didn't give you my number.
It doesn't matter.
Listen, I don't think you should be calling me.
Why not?
And it's funny to me that when that happens, because she says, how did you get this number? Or like, how did you find me or whatever? And I'm like, he probably looked you up in the phone book. It was probably just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because all your information's in there pretty much, unless you take out your address. But mm-hmm. definitely the phone number's there. You probably just looked her up. It was mm-hmm. It's that easy. He could go to literally a payphone and just look her up from a phone book that would have been hanging off of the payphone, found her number, called her up. It might have been even easier back then to find somebody's phone number than it is now.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. It probably was not hard, but also she seemed like someone who liked to talk about herself a lot. So like, did she just reveal it? Like, oh yeah, and my super like deserty apartment. I have a whole desert thing going on. I've got cactuses. I've got my walls like whitewashed. I've got, you know, kind of a southwestern print on my pillows. You would love it. It's so cool. The windows are oddly sized. Don't worry about that. The door opens out towards you when you're coming in. Don't worry about that. I do have a cat named Steve.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
But what's great about my number is if you use the letters for the last four digits, it spells fuck.
Oh.
So it's 213-555 fuck. Don't write that down though. Don't write that down.
I don't need to. That's very easy to remember.
I got it. That's locked in.
Yeah, you made some of them a word. That's not hard. Also, it's interesting. She's supposedly coming down from a road trip or like a meeting for work. So they're in the mountains, but like they're in some truck stop or some sort of weird motel. Like she's coming from San Francisco. It's not that long of a drive.
Yeah.
Where are they exactly?
Oh my God. I didn't know we were on the Mapcast. Shoot.
We have to utilize all of our different podcasts to really supplement this one.
But she looks like it looks like she's in the Inland Empire, which why you would go all the way to like take the 15 coming down from San Francisco.
She went all the way out and then south
and then down. But to your point, Ryan, she drove herself to San Francisco. So how did she get lost on the way back? It's the same route.
The 5 freeway goes from Mexico through California, Oregon, Washington to Canada. If you follow that and you don't stray, you're gonna get to your destination.
Got her.
It's just if you're looking for something unusual and you're trying to thumb through a Thomas guide at that point in time in the 80s, I get it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that trip, it's not complicated, guys. It's not tough.
Not at
and
all.
Why do you like get so complicated? You need to spend a night in a motel. It's for LA to San Francisco is not that 5.5 hours, 6 hours. Not that long a drive. You don't need to be like, well, I'm never going to make it through a day.
She didn't need to stay in the hotel.
No, she was down to pound, and that's why she stayed in the hotel.
That's right.
Yeah.
She even says she tells her friend, like, she needed that experience because, let's be honest, her boyfriend is boring. He is a snoozer.
Oh.
I mean, he
also knows what she's doing. So when she came in and had that dirty drifter sex smell all over
her. And he knew it.
I knew it. I know exactly what you've been doing.
I don't think he was boring because when she gets back, he's going through something in her closet. does a boring guy go through his girlfriend's stuff while she's gone? I don't think so. But does a psychopath who doesn't trust someone,
yes.
a psychopath with yes. trust issues, does he go through her stuff while she's gone? Yes. Yes, he does. Steve was there trying to be like, meow, he's here. He's looking through your stuff. Meow, he's there.
But like, Steve couldn't get it out because Steve was so malnourished.
Yeah.
He was only thinking it. He was only thinking it. He couldn't get his vocal cords to actually work.
Right. Yeah.
I was so nervous he was going to jump up onto one of those cactuses at any point. I was like, there's a lot of potted cactuses here for Steve to get hurt on. I'm nervous for him.
That's why she loves the desert. That's why she got just wandered out through the 15 and just got lost out there for a while just for fun.
Loves it there.
Just for a good time.
So for the next 45 minutes of this movie, we find out that, is it Arthur is the boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's hired a PI to follow her because he doesn't trust her, but he's also had infidelity issues. And he's also been working on a trial that we don't care about, but they keep bringing up all the time. And Trey, the drifter, keeps calling her and saying that they need to be together, and she's getting paranoid. Her friend announces that she's pregnant, and she's all super happy. And it's not until 45 minutes into the movie that something actually happens, which unfortunately is her friend is murdered in her apartment. When she says, come to my apartment, take a load off. You had a fight with your boyfriend.
Then we'll have a pajama party, okay? I'll come home and we'll fry up some fish.
That's that's a bold choice for dinner, is to say, but I'm going to make fish.
This is where I'm like, does she have a sense of smell? Maybe she doesn't. I mean, at this point, there's just too many. You can't smell anything. Yeah. That's my guess. Yeah. You can't smell anything.
That's true. You left Steve alone for weeks. Clearly, you can't smell that litter box at this
point. You know he's made a mess.
That should have hit you. That should have slapped you. That should have slapped you in the face
upon your
arrival.
As soon as you walked in the oddly hung door, you should have been like, oof, that's a smell.
Oh, Steve. Stevie. Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
also,
wow.
Earlier, backtrack, the motel also should have been like, ooh, there's a smell. There's a smell on him. There's a smell on the floor that we're laying on.
Yeah.
There's a smell here.
Doesn't he smell like wet drifter at that point?
Yeah.
Like,
oof. For sure. Terrible.
But I don't think she can smell. I don't think she's able to.
She doesn't. You're right. I think you're right.
Also, she seems to be incapable of grocery shopping for more than one day because she grocery shops 5 times in this movie. Or at least comes home with a bag of groceries.
Well, she drops a lot of it, though, to be fair. She does have a lot of dropsies.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Cut out were scenes where she attempted to get more of her groceries, but she dropped them, and then she's picking up the bag, and it's just ripping to shreds because it was only paper bags back then. And they're just, it's just all over the street, and she's like, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. I can't go back for it though.
I gotta leave it all here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to the Okie dog. Get myself some dinner. And some drifter.
Yeah. Is that the name of one of their dogs?
Man, if they had, that would have been
a
something
drifter
else.
Dog? Oh.
So Julia's friend is killed and she meets up with the cop with the shirt with the sleeves cut off. Arthur's meeting up with the private investigator who keeps following her and taking pictures. Trey sometimes shows up. Sometimes he calls. He actually, for a good part of the middle chunk of this movie, doesn't play much of a role. He kind of disappears. And so one would think that Julia would say, "Oh, problem solved. He went away. I guess we're good."
Yeah.
Until her friend dies.
He does kind of give her some space, but then he gets in her life again, and then he kind of backs off again.
Mm-hmm.
Gives her time to think he's really taken off. Does show up at her work. That part's like, that's a bummer because that really, it's hard to make an excuse to excuse that one away.
Mm-hmm.
No more of a bummer than actually working in that office, though. that office looked miserable. Dark gray walls,
office,
no windows.
Though, she had so much space.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it was so full of paper and junk all over the place. She could smoke in there.
I mean,
she was smoking in there. She was smoking in there. So that office smelled real bad.
She reeks. Mm-hmm. That's why she can't smell anything, Ryan. She's such a smoker. She can't smell anything.
She's burned out her olfactory senses. That's it.
You handsome drifter. Darn it.
I just drifted into this movie and figured out a mystery that they didn't even know was there, that no one's trying to solve but me. before we get into the ending, we're going to spoil the ending a little bit, but I got to go through some unexpected endings. So this is how we'll spoil it. So if you don't want to have this movie spoiled, I mean, I think you can kind of figure out what it is, but
honestly, please go watch it. It is wild. Mm-hmm. A lot happens.
I enjoyed this movie. I'm not going to lie.
Many times out loud, I just went to myself, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes some places. It's wild.
And the last 10 minutes are worth the time spent.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, what? Why? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening?
To that end, I was like thinking about the movie, having seen it, and I was looking up Wikipedia just to kind of like go through the plot again, just think if anything stood out to me. And here's what stood out to me, because I read the end of the Wikipedia, which is pretty thorough and detailed, but mm-hmm. the end of the Wikipedia plot synopsis is this. With the detective dead, Trey goes to Julia, and she reveals that the pocket watch she gave him was what saved him from the detective's bullet. He was wearing it, and it took the bullet for him. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Julia and him embrace as she realizes she has met her true love and hero and the man who will protect her. The film ends with a happy ending shot of Julia and Trey together on a beach with her cat at their feet, happily ever after.
What?
That does not happen in this movie. That is not right.
Is that the director's cut? Is that the writer, actor, director's cut?
Seriously.
I don't know. I was like, that, number one, if you're a wild swing to say, like, this is the guy I'm going to be with. This dude who is, I mean.
He was the only one left. I mean, at that point,
Right,
he was
right. I mean, him or the detective, and she's like, I'm not going detective.
Yeah, he was too deep undercover.
Or her coworker at work, but that, yeah, you know, right. They didn't seem to have a spark.
I don't know that he was into ladies, but sure, yeah.
Also, you're taking your cat to the beach? I don't know about that.
Do cats like the beach?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think, with a big bunch of water right there, I don't know. Mm. I'm not a cat owner, so I don't know, but I doubt that. Anyway, so I looked this up and Google going, is this like an alternative ending? Is there like an alternative ending to this? And here's what Google AI told me. They said that there's no alternative ending and that the ending was this. And this is the quote. The 1988 movie The Drifter does not have an alternate ending, only its theatrical climax, where the mysterious detective kills Julia.
Wait, what?
What? Wait, I'm sorry, what happened?
Hold on, tell me more.
There's more. Claiming he had to eliminate her to cover his tracks after she found Maddie's body. That's not, no, I mean, he does try to do that.
He does say that. He tries to do that.
But he doesn't actually do it. He does not actually kill her. And then they finish by saying.
This is so upsetting because I really thought I could have AI take my place on this podcast. But now I know that it cannot.
No, it's just getting everything wrong. This is the only ending presented in the film. Not at all the ending presented in the film, though. Damn. Other films sometimes have alternate endings on home media releases. That's what
thank you, AI. You were able to scrape that. Good job boy.
But what a wild bunch of endings that didn't happen popped up.
I'm going to blame Wikipedia. I'm going to put more blame on Wikipedia, though, with this one, because that was actually written by someone.
Someone actually went,
I feel like this is how the movie right. should have
somebody
ended.
Went, yeah.
so I'm
going to
go ahead yeah. and type that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steve the cat was like, meow, 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 meow.
I want to go to the beach. Why won't someone take me? I'm like, she wouldn't take this the cat to the beach because she doesn't take this cat anywhere. She leaves this cat yeah. all the time. Why would she suddenly
now take it
to the beach?
That's why she had that strong southwestern deserty motif so that Steve just felt like he was out in the desert.
He was already outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this movie ends with her looking at the watch and seeing that there's a bullet in it, and that's what saved his life, and them just sort of looking into each other's eyes and then roll credits. And
yeah.
even with that, I thought, wait, you guys are now going to be together after all yeah. this? I mean, I get it. You've shared he saved your life, but let's not forget like all the psycho shit that he did for like,
yeah, he still is. Yeah. But still is a weirdo. So like, came in handy, as it turned out, surprisingly, but also a weirdo. So,
come on, though. We all give weirdos a chance, right, Ryan? Come on.
The one thing this movie does demonstrate, though, is Julia can't pick him.
Yeah, her picker's off.
Her boyfriend was no better at
all. No, not great. Yeah. Not great. Mm-hmm. Not trusting. Not cool, not interesting.
Mm-hmm. Not a cool apartment or house, whatever it was. Nope. It looked like it was his grandma's house.
And why would she hook up with a drifter too? Like, one thing I would say about her that I think she does well is like set her boundaries, which of course the drifter ignores, but I thought she did a good job setting like, hey, nope, this isn't a thing. This isn't going forward. Here's a watch. That's the confusing part. That's where she breaks her boundaries.
Yeah.
But she is not attracting good people to her. She's not a good people magnet.
No.
Her picker's off and her boyfriend's picker is off. Arthur's picker is off because that was a terrible choice for a private detective.
Awful.
You picked
perhaps the worst.
A serial killer as your private detective. So yeah, they're both off.
Real quick, though, to go back to the Google AI scrape of various different plot lines that then was spit out as the ending of this movie. In this scenario, if Google AI was right, then he would try to be killing Julia because he had to eliminate his tracks from killing her friend. But he killed her friend and left her on Julia's bed.
Yeah.
Just out in the, like, he did nothing. So he's like, well, now I have to kill you because I did nothing to cover my tracks earlier. Mm-hmm. Which is...
But I think the thing that I really struggled with in this movie, though, is at the beginning of the movie, we learned that the reason why she went to San Francisco to begin with was to sell her new line of clothes. And she says, it looks like they're going to buy it. Have they been calling this whole time? Like, Julia, I thought we struck a deal. Are we doing this? Are we not doing this? What's going on?
Julia, when are we going to get our first shipment of musty cigarettes?
Yeah.
Your new line. Your new line of clothes.
Yeah. I just feel like the real loser in this movie is the company that was going to buy her line. And now they can't even reach her.
But to that end, Mark, you also say that when she's at work drawing more designs. Are they done? Why aren't you building them?
Yeah.
Did you sell them? Or did you sell the idea that you will deliver other things to them later? Like, what did she sell to them exactly?
Yeah, Semanticast. Ooh, I knew it was coming. I didn't know when it was going to come up, but it's here. It's here.
I think that she sold them on like a pitch idea. Here are some examples. Here's where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to buy this line, we have a whole fleet of other designs that we're going to create, but we need to get the green light before we commit to designing all these.
So that's on them because they gave her zero deliverables when she left. Yeah. They were just like, we're on board. And she's like, cool. But they have nothing. They got nothing to call her about. They don't have anything yet.
Yeah.
Love they have the promise of future designs. That's all they got.
Right. So typically you would set up a follow-up meeting to say, awesome, you guys are interested. Let's set up a meeting when I get back to LA where we can talk through what you're looking for so I can set up the team and we can get you what you need. So on both sides, project management has failed at the design company, at the manufacturer and at the design company. So not only can she not pick her boyfriend, she cannot run a project for shit.
That's what takes people out of movies, when you don't see the contract, when you read it.
Right.
When you don't know the exact,
you don't know exactly what they agreed to. This is like, you're like, what?
Exactly why people don't go to the theater anymore.
This is, this is why people are not going back to the movies. Because they're like, give me good project management.
Yeah.
I need to know the details of their day life. I need to know what their job is day to day.
If they had just one scene where they had a call to talk through the details of the statement of work and made some changes, and Julie was like, cool, I'll get those changes done and send them back to you. If that scene was in this movie, this would be in my top five for this year. But it's not. So.
Well, that's it for the Drifter.
What? Hold on. Hold on. I can't let this be it.
Okay.
I have one more thing that I have to say. If you're like, should I watch this movie? Should I not? Just know that, yes, you should watch this movie, and watch it for no other reason than my absolute favorite scene. And I know we're not doing things you love, things we hated, or your favorite scene.
No, no, no.
But I have to share my favorite scene.
I feel like I know what it is.
Julie is upset at work. She runs into the women's restroom.
Absolutely.
Yes.
She feels like she might throw up. So she rips
the
door. Rips the door off the stall, and there's a woman in the stall who's like, oh.
She goes like, she's like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who's startled because she's in there using the restroom.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, sorry. And goes, I guess, back to the sink. And then you see that woman leave.
Right.
You see her check and leave the restroom, and she doesn't wash her hands, and she has been sitting on the toilet. The whole thing is wonderful. It's wonderful.
And as she leaves, she tries to shut the door that has been ripped off the hinges.
Ripped off the hinges. It's wonderful. It is a wonderful scene.
It is a wonderful scene. You're right. And I thought that that might be the scene, and I just think, wow, that's... If this movie has nothing else, it's worth seeing it for that scene. Though I think there's other scenes of note, but that is that's pretty amazing.
Because she's at work. So that poor woman who was in the restroom not only went back to her own desk or office without washing her hands, but where did she go afterwards? Who does she tell? Does she go to HR? I don't know. What does she tell them? I was in the restroom and Julia ripped the door off the handle trying to get into the toilet.
Also, what we've seen of her work situation, there's not a lot of people there. So it's like her boss, maybe, and then this lady, and
right.
Yeah.
So she's going to have, there's going to be a moment where she's going to have to walk by and apologize.
Yeah.
I mean, she better.
And is she going to call maintenance, or is the lady that was sitting on the pot going to call maintenance?
Who shares the door is broken? This? Yeah. Oh, all of it. Wonderful. Start to finish. Watch it for that scene alone.
That is an amazing. Steve.
I totally agree.
You know, watch it for Steve. Watch it for that. Oh, God. Watch it for...
Watch it to watch a lady who cannot smell.
Yeah.
And how
watch it for a lady who cannot smell and constantly wears sneakers and socks with... dresses, and it works. I don't know. It works.
And you know, if you think about it, if you had to lose a sense and you have all of the senses and you had to lose one, that might be the one that you say, lose the sense of smell. Mm-hmm. I can still hear. I can still see. I can still taste. I'll lose a sense of smell. No big whoop. Look at the trouble. Look at the trouble you get into when you can't smell anything.
Had she been able to smell... She would have known her coworker was in there taking a shit, and she wouldn't have ripped the door off because she would have been like, "Whoa, somebody's in here taking a shit." I mean,
she can't see with her eyes that the door is closed, and she ripped it off the hinges. Yeah. So I
not enough, Ryan.
There were
not
some context clues, but yes, not smelling the obvious turd that was happening.
Maybe she also had a lack of hearing because she didn't hear like the little plops going down into the
Wait, right now I can't remember the five senses. Am I that dead inside? Taste, smell, sight, hearing. What's the fifth?
Is it touch?
Touch, yeah.
Touch.
That's a sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a much better note to end on, and that is it for The Drifter. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, check out all our Noir-vember episodes. You can listen to the episodes for part two. You can listen to our original ones. You can listen to all of our episodes, interviews. You can read our articles, buy a t-shirt at our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.